Well, if you were with us last week, you know that we wrapped up our series titled, What is Foursquare? It was an eight-week series that took some time to kind of talk about why we're called a Foursquare church and really what it means to be Foursquare. And so if you missed any part of that series, because so many of the different aspects were, I think, important for us. If you missed any part of that series, I just encourage you to go back to watch it or listen to it online, especially if you call yourself, if you call Dallas Foursquare Church your home church, because I think it's important that you know what we believe and who we are and what we're about. And so I encourage you to go and check it out if you missed any of those. But this morning, we're going to take some time to focus on Christmas. Did you know it's Christmas time, right? You may not know. You're like, when is Christmas time? Because in September, all of a sudden, Christmas stuff is up now. And so you're like, wait, when is Christmas time, actually? Because it's all around us. But it is Christmas. And we're going to focus on Christmas this morning. And the truth is, Christmas can take all sorts of meanings, right, for many different people. But as believers, we know that the key component of Christmas has to do with Jesus. And so today we're going to talk about the fact that God loves all people. Christmas is God's love for all people. That's the title of my message this morning. And I want to start by reading you a story that was written by a missionary in Russia. And so this is what he wrote. It was nearing Christmas time for our orphans. And it was the first time that most of them would hear the true story of Christmas. We told them about Mary and Joseph arriving in Bethlehem, finding that there was no room in the inn. And so the couple went to a stable where the baby Jesus was born and placed in a manger. Throughout the story, the children and orphanage staff sat in amazement as they listened. Some sat on the edge of their seats, trying to grasp every word. Completing the story, we gave the children three small pieces of cardboard to make their own manger. Each child was then given a small paper square cut from yellow napkins that I had brought with me since colored paper wasn't available in the city we were in. Following instructions, the children tore the yellow paper and carefully laid strips in the manger for the straw. Small squares of flannel that were cut from a worn-out nightgown that an American lady had thrown away as she was leaving Russia was used for the baby's blanket. And a doll-like baby was cut from some tan felt that we had brought from the United States. The orphans, they were busy assembling their mangers as I walked among them, and I looked to see if any of them need help. All went well until I got to one table where little Misha sat. He looked to be about 6 years old and had already finished his project. As I looked at the little boy's manger, I was startled to see not one, but two babies lying in the manger. Quickly, I called for the translator to ask the boy why there were two babies in the manger. Crossing his arms in front of him and looking at this completed manger scene, the child began to repeat the story that was shared earlier very seriously. And for such a young boy who had only heard the Christmas story once, he related the happenings pretty accurately. That is, until he came to the part where Mary put Jesus in the manger. It was then that Misha started to ad lib. He made up his own ending to the story as he said, "And when Mary laid the baby in the manger, Jesus looked at me and asked me if I had a place to stay. I told him I have no mama and I have no papa, so I don't have a place to stay. Then Jesus told me I could stay with him. But I told him I couldn't because I didn't have a gift to give him like everybody else did. But I wanted to stay with Jesus so much, so I thought about what I had that I could maybe use for a gift. I thought maybe if I kept him warm, that could be a good gift. And so I asked Jesus, if I lie next to you and keep you warm, will that be a good enough gift? And Jesus told me, if you keep me warm, that will be the best gift anybody ever gave me. So I got into the manger. And then Jesus looked at me and he told me I could stay with him there forever. As little Misha finished his story, his eyes brimmed full of tears that ran down his little cheeks. Putting his hand over his face, his head dropped to the table and his shoulders shook as he sobbed. This little orphan had found someone who would never abandon or abuse him. Someone who would stay with him and love him always. This young orphan named Misha found the love of Jesus in the Christmas story. That's what the Christmas story is all about, right? Because the Christmas story is all about love. It's about the love that God has for all people. And the fact that he desires us to be people who do the same, who love all. And so I guess the question this morning is, what is love and what does it mean for us to love all? Love is one of those words that can seem so complex and yet is so simple when you actually break it down. Because in 1 John 4:8, it tells us that God is love. It doesn't say that God shows us love. It says God is love. He is love. And the truth is, the entire gospel is stated in that simple sentence. God is love, period. So to truly know love, we must know God. And so this morning, I want to look at this love that is God. And I believe that our greatest understanding of God is found in Jesus Christ, in Jesus himself. In John 14, Philip asked Jesus about God the Father. And Jesus replies in verse 9 by saying, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Jesus is God. He is part of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Three in one. And it was Christmas that brought God the Son to this world. And it's through him that we see this beautiful picture of love for everyone, for all people. And so this morning, I want to look at Jesus. And I want to specifically look at three aspects of love that we see from his life. And how from the example of Jesus, we too can learn to love all. Now, the fact is, we know there are more than three aspects of love that we see of Jesus throughout the scriptures. But these are the three that God put on my heart this morning. And so the first is this. When we talk about this idea of loving all, number one, loving all means meeting people where they're at. That's how we love, by meeting people where they're at. This is the core of the Christmas story, right? Jesus left the glories of heaven to come to this earth. He left a life without limitations, a life without pain or suffering, to come into this world and to meet us right where we're at. To meet us in the midst of a dark and fallen world. Philippians 2, 6 through 7 says it this way when talking about Jesus. I think I have it to go up on the screen. It says this, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. The God of the universe made in human likeness. It's crazy to think that even though he was God, He didn't come into this world as this great king who lived in palaces with all the luxuries of royalty. Instead, he came into this world born to a poor carpenter who was pledged to this young girl that he wasn't even married to yet. And then, instead of being born in this great place, he was born in a stable and laid to rest in a trough that animals ate out of, right? This is not at all what you would expect from the God of the universe, the God who created all things. But this is the way he chose to enter our world, because he loved us and he met us in the midst of our mess. He met us right where we're at. And he still meets us right where we're at today. You see, love doesn't make others rise to its level. Love shows grace and meets people right where they're at. Loving all means meeting people in their space. All throughout the scriptures, we see Jesus showing love to people in this way. Let me share with you one of my favorite stories from Sunday school that reveals this truth. It's found in Luke 19. It's the story of Zacchaeus. If you know about Zacchaeus, he was a tax collector. And if you aren't familiar with tax collectors in these days, they were considered to be the worst of the worst, right? They were worse than lawyers, okay? They were considered to be the worst of the worst. They worked for the Roman government and they collected taxes. But they would collect extra taxes and keep those taxes for themselves. And so they became very rich off their own people. And because of this, they were hated. They were despised by people. But this man, Zacchaeus, he had heard about Jesus. And he wanted to see who this Jesus guy was. And we're told that he was a short man. And he couldn't see over the crowds that were there that day. And so he climbs up in a sycamore tree to see this man, Jesus, that everyone was talking about. And this is where I want to pick up the story this morning. In Luke 19, we're going to read verses 5 through 10. It says this: "When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today.' So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, 'He has gone to be with the guest of a sinner.' But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, 'Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount.'" Is that what I had up there? Yeah, that's where I'm stopping. I think I had more written here. Jesus knew Zacchaeus' reputation, but he purposely chose to go to his house. It didn't bother Jesus that he was a tax collector or a sinner, right, as the religious leaders called him. It didn't bother Jesus that people began to question and gossip about him, the fact that he was going to this sinner's house. No, Jesus, like he did time and time again, met Zacchaeus right where he was. He demonstrated his love with action. He didn't just claim to love people. He showed them his love by going to them and meeting them in the midst of their brokenness. And the fact is, Jesus does the same for us. He shows us his love by meeting us in our brokenness, by coming to us and meeting us right where we're at. This is the kind of love that we see from Jesus, and this is the kind of love that Jesus desires from us as we learn to follow him and as we learn to love all. And then the second aspect of loving all that we see through Jesus is this: loving all means looking beyond the surface. One of the things I struggle with most when I think about Christmas and Jesus coming into this dark and broken world is why? Why would he come for us? Why would God want to save people that were so messed up and so broken? Why would he care about the people of this world who had turned their back on him? Especially when you look back at history where his own people, the Israelites, failed him time and time again. And even though he saved them again and again, they would eventually forget all about him and would again turn their backs on him. It was this continuous cycle. And when Jesus entered the world some 2,000 years ago, it was probably as messed up as it had ever been. And so why would he give up what he had in heaven to come to this dark place full of sinners that continued to fail him? Well, I believe it's because he loved us. He loved us and he looked beyond the surface. When you looked at the world 2,000 years ago, all you would have seen is just chaos and mess. But Jesus looked beyond the surface. He didn't focus on what was, but instead he focused on what could be. You see, true love doesn't focus on the moment. True love sees the potential of what could be, what is to come. All throughout the Gospels, Jesus is questioned about the people that he hung out with. The tax collectors, the prostitutes, the sinners, the ones that are considered less than. Why did he hang out with these people? We know it wasn't because he lived the same kind of life as them, right? Jesus was perfect. He was sinless. So why would he hang out with sinners? Why would he hang out with these kinds of people? Because he loved them. And he knew that those titles, right? The titles that they had been given weren't who they really were. Underneath the surface, he knew there were people that were different. Yeah, they may have failed and found themselves in the wrong crowd. But he saw beyond the surface and saw the potential of what each of them could someday be. Our story of Zacchaeus is a great example. Everyone else saw him as this horrible, sinful tax collector. But Jesus saw beyond the surface and he saw the potential of a generous man who, after Jesus came in verse 8, said these words, "Here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus saw his potential. He knew that beyond the surface was a kind and generous man. Jesus demonstrated this kind of love towards people time and time again. And one of the times that baffles me the most is found in Luke 23:34. It's when Jesus was on the cross. He had been beaten. He had a crown of thorns stuffed onto his head. He'd been nailed to a cross. He'd been mocked. He'd been spit on. And after all this, with everyone just standing around, watching and waiting for him to die, he utters these words, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Even on the cross, in the midst of his pain and suffering, he was able to look beyond the surface and see that these were misguided people that didn't know what they were doing, that didn't realize who he really was. If they only knew the truth, how different their lives could be. Today, I believe the Lord wants us to know the truth. to know that beyond the surface, beyond the titles that the world has given us or given to others, that God sees beyond those titles. God sees beyond the surface. He sees the truth of who He's created us to be. And more importantly, who we can become in and through Him. It's why He loves us, and it's why He wants us to be people who love others, people who love all, regardless of what they might look like on the surface. Which brings me to my final point, the third aspect of loving all that we can learn from Jesus is this. Loving all means giving of ourselves. It's giving of ourselves. It's actually sacrificial. I spent 10 years in Newburgh as a youth pastor. The last four or five of those, I pastored college students as well. Many of those college students went to George Fox University there in Newburgh. And when I lived there, I had no idea who George Fox was named after. It wasn't until recently that I came across a story about him that I realized who it was named after. And I'd like to share this story about him this morning. It says this, during World War II, there were four chaplains, one being Lieutenant George Fox, who were aboard the SS Dorchester, a renovated luxury liner being used to transport troops. In all, 902 people were aboard the ship as it sailed through the treacherous Atlantic waters from Newfoundland to Greenland. On the evening of February 2nd, 1943, a torpedo from a German Nazi U-boat ripped into the ship. "She's going down," the men cried, scrambling for the lifeboats. A young soldier came frantically to one of the chaplains, telling him he had lost his life jacket. "Take this one," the chaplain said, handing the soldier his. Before the ship sank, each chaplain had given his life jacket to one of the soldiers. They spent their final moments tending to the men who had been wounded by the explosion and helping as many as they could get to safety. As the SS Dorchester started to vanish under the waves, survivors shared how the heroic chaplains linked arms and lifted their voices in praise as it went down. Lieutenant Fox and his fellow chaplains were the first to be awarded posthumously, I think I said that correctly, that's such a tough word to say, posthumously, the Distinguished Service Cross for their bravery and sacrifice. These chaplains, they laid down their life for their friends. In John 15:13, it says, "Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends." And then 1 John 3:16 says this, "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us." Jesus is the perfect example of this sacrificial kind of love. You see, at Christmas, it's so easy to focus on the world's idea of Jesus. This cute little baby that was born in a cute little manger scene, right? We always make sure that it's pretty and nice, right? But I'm pretty sure our nice sterile nativity scenes are far from how it actually was on that night. I mean, if you think about it, a baby was just born. And it's not like today where you can take the baby into the next room, get it all cleaned up, right? It was dirty, and who knows the last time this stable had been cleaned. There were no nurses that came in and changed all the linens and helped the mom get cleaned up, right? The place was probably pretty stinky, pretty smelly. So this was a pretty big sacrifice to give up the glories of heaven to enter the world in a scene like this. But that's what Jesus did. And not only did he come to this earth and limit himself in the form of a man, if we fast forward, we know that he eventually dies on a cross for our sins, for our failures. He showed the greatest love that the Bible talks about. Why? Because He is love. And the thing we have to remember is that He came to this earth for all of us. He died on a cross for you, for me, for all humanity. Christmas is the story of God's love for all. The story of the God of the universe sending His Son into our world to meet us right where we're at. The story of His Son looking beyond the surface of all our lives and seeing someone, something that's worthy of His love. The story of Jesus limiting Himself to human flesh and eventually allowing that flesh to be crucified for our sins. And as we think of His amazing love for all of us, we have to remember that He now calls us to do the same. We're called to follow His example. We're called to love all people. And my prayer is that all of us will rethink Christmas this year. Yes, giving gifts and getting gifts is fun, right? And all the traditions of Christmas, they're not bad. I love to put up lights. I love to do all the things that we do at Christmas. I love them as much as the next person. But we can't forget that Christmas is all about God's love for all. And we are called to spread that love. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word today. We thank You for this time where we get to celebrate Christmas. And Lord, we know there's a lot of traditions and things that we celebrate that aren't You at Christmas. And there's nothing wrong with that as long as we don't lose focus of what Christmas is all about. The reality that the God of this universe loved us so much that He came and entered this world for us. Christmas is all about Your love for all of us, Lord. And my prayer is that we remember that this Christmas season and that we remember that now You've called us to respond in the same way. And so, Lord, this Christmas season, as we walk throughout our days this week, and as we get ready for all the things, wrapping gifts and family coming and food and all the things that we do that have become Christmas, my prayer is that we would keep our eyes open to look for those opportunities this week to love people, to let Your love shine through us, Lord, to love all people. Not just the ones that we want to love, that are easy to love, but Lord, that we can let Your unconditional love shine through us, Lord. And so we thank You for this Christmas season. We thank You for Your hand upon our lives. We thank You for all that You do, Lord. We give You this message. May You allow it just to speak to each of us where we're at. Lord, what is it that You're speaking to me today? What is it that You're speaking to each of us individually today? Lord, what is it that we can grab hold of in the midst of this message, Lord? May we grab hold of it. May we receive it. May we be different today and moving forward because of what You are doing in and through us in this Christmas season. We thank You. We praise You. We give all these things to You. We pray a blessing upon everyone this week as they prepare for Christmas, as they go about their week, Lord. Just bless them and be with them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.